1 Peter chapter 5. As you're turning there, I also want to mention today, probably most of you are aware, you saw in the news where there was a shooting in Utah, and Charlie Kirk was killed in that shooting, and he was the president, I guess, of Turning Point, which connected with young adults in all across America and around the world, really, and promoting conservative values and politics. It's very instrumental in this last presidential election. And what I liked about Charlie Kirk is you could ask him any question. He would allow liberals or whoever to come and ask any question, and he could answer them, could smile and calmly answer them, didn't have to get upset, but he could just so effectively explain those conservative values. And so he's going to be missed, and the conservative movement has definitely suffered a great loss. And so I'm very, very sorry to hear that. It really is troublesome. And so I just would ask that you be praying. He's got a young family, praying for them and then for the Turning Point organization. I want his work to continue on, and I believe that's one thing that they have such an effective network, really. And we know at least one person who works for Turning Point, and so I just want their work to continue on. But pray that God would touch his family, and then pray for our nation, folks. It's so sad to see when people are unable to discuss differences in a peaceful manner. And just the climate, and I know it goes both sides, but really, you know, you've seen the violence really mostly on one side. And so that's concerning. But we need to pray that God would help our nation. Help our nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You see, the devil is seeking whom he may devour, but we are to resist steadfast in the faith. So our title tonight is Steadfast Resistance. Steadfast Resistance. Amen. That's key. That's key. We need to get this. Amen. It's how we win. Praise the Lord. Lord, help us tonight. Speak to our hearts, I pray. Challenge us. Strengthen us, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to ask us a question here tonight. It's a little different question, but I want us to think about something. If you were the devil, all right, if you were the devil, what tactic would you use to destroy you? Okay? If you were the devil, what tactic would you use to destroy you? All right? So, for example, Colt, if you were the devil, what would you do to destroy Colt McCoy? And all of us, think about that. How would you go about it? What strategies would you employ? You see, we all know where we're weak. We know what we struggle with. So does the devil. So does the devil. So why don't we work to build up our defenses in those areas where we know we're vulnerable to attack? Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, his strategies. We're not ignorant, he says. I hope we're not ignorant. We are in the most important struggle of our life, the battle with the kingdom of darkness over our soul. And you would think that people would give more thought to overcoming the enemy than they do. But sadly, the enemy of our soul has in many cases given more thought to destroying us than we have given to how we're going to defeat his attack. As we each look at our life and where we're at right now with all that we're facing currently and where the enemy's trying to take us out, what area of our life is it that he's trying to get at us through? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter knows a little bit about this. He fell prey to the enemy, and so we have got to stay alert. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to watch out for our enemy, our adversary, the devil. So what is his plan to take us out? Now, if we can't come up with any way that he's trying to devour us, then trust me, we're missing something. Because he's got some kind of plan to take us out. And if we can't imagine any way that the devil would attack us, then he's probably working a way that we're overlooking somehow. And we're probably unprepared to defend against that attack. This is not meant to discourage us here tonight, but it's meant to wake us up, to make us aware. Be sober. Be vigilant. Pay attention. The enemy's out to take you out, but we've got to prepare for his attack. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Don't be discouraged tonight, but we should be watchful, knowing that with every temptation that comes, God makes a way to escape. When we're tempted, God will show us a way out so that we can bear it, so that we can endure it. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. But we've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant. Don't overlook all the ways that the attack can come against your life. It may not even be a direct thing. It may be something that it will be something he's sly about and he's cunning about. But be sober, be vigilant, because there's a way of escape somehow. Maybe it's a little bitterness. Maybe it's some jealousy. Perhaps we got offended over something. It could be pride, rebellion, something that got into our heart. And we know it's not right, but we justify it being there because, well, somebody did me wrong, or somebody said something, or somebody talked about me, or somebody whatever. But we've got to be wise and not let the enemy destroy us. During World War II, there were various groups who organized against the Nazi occupation in European countries. These resistance movements were sometimes referred to as the underground. In countries such as Poland, where the Nazi rule was quite oppressive, as many as 10 to 15% of the Polish population were estimated to be part of these resistance groups. They used a variety of techniques to fight back, from non-cooperation, to spreading propaganda, hiding crashed pilots and other important individuals, sabotage, and even outright warfare and the recapturing of occupied towns. Even Germany had an anti-Nazi movement. And although Britain was never occupied during the war, they made complex preparations for a British resistance movement in case it was ever needed. When we think of World War II, we think of vast armies and tanks rolling into battle, major airplane formations. We think of Normandy and other great battles. But behind the scenes, there were citizens in those Nazi-occupied territories and countries who decided to not take it lying down. They resisted. The French resistance movement is credited with tying down large numbers of German troops, which led to the shortage of manpower at the Normandy beach landings and gave the Allies a great advantage. The Yugoslav resistance was the same, keeping German forces tied down in the Balkans and unable to fight the British and American forces. Poland had 400,000 men and women involved in the resistance. In 1994, they began the Warsaw Uprising, the largest resistance movement in the war, even taking and controlling parts of the city for weeks and inflicting heavy casualties on the German army. In our text tonight, Peter writes about the enemy of our soul, that he's walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And what are we to do about that? 1 Peter 5 and 9 says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We're not alone in this, okay? Sometimes we think nobody else is going through what I'm going through. I want to tell you, we're not alone in this. We're not alone in this. All around the world and in every moment of time, our brothers and sisters in Christ have fought and are fighting with us. We're facing the same enemy. He comes at us different ways, but we're all in the same fight. Come on, we got to realize it's not just about us. It's about a whole kingdom war. But what are we to do? We are to resist steadfast in the faith. The secret of spiritual warfare, it's really pretty simple. Steadfast resistance. Steadfast resistance. As we are steadfast in the faith, we resist the enemy's lies, his threats, his intimidation. The word resist, it comes from two Greek words, stand and against. Peter's telling us, stand against the devil. Stand against the devil. The power of the enemy can be overthrown by the newest, unexperienced Christian who comes in the authority of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And with his word, and if we will stand on that authority, any one of us, we are called to stand, and we can resist. We can resist. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know the battle I'm going through. I need something better than that. I need a bomb I can set off. I need some planes I can send to take them out. No, I want to tell you what the Bible tells us. You've got to stand and you've got to stand against. You've got to resist. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, welcome to the resistance. We're all part of this. Come on, we're all part of this. We're fighting the same enemy, but God's on our side. And I'm telling somebody, there's victory ahead. There's healing ahead. There's miracles ahead. There's revival ahead. I believe God is doing something in this city. I believe God is preparing a way before us. I believe the angels of the Lord are walking up and down streets and in neighborhoods and saying, that's
That's a new territory we're about to take. That's a new family we're about to win. Somebody resist.
Steadfast resistance is not glamorous. Anybody ever play pretend growing up? I was a captain on an old sailing vessel. And we were fighting against the British or somebody, you know. And then I was George Washington. I had me a sword. I had some little cap guns. Maybe I was a cowboy riding into town, meeting the big rancher's daughter. You know what I'm talking about, some of y'all. Uh-huh. I didn't have a horse, but I did have a horse in my mind. I'd get up on that saddle and... I don't even know where I'm going with this. We envision ourselves in some glorious battle. There on the front lines, we're taking it to the enemy. We've all kind of grown up thinking about those kind of things. And, oh, if I was ever in that situation, man, it'd just be. But that's not really what the Word of God describes when it comes to spiritual warfare. You see, Jesus Christ has already won the victory. He's already won. We've just got to stand on his victory. We get to feeling overwhelmed because we don't know how we can possibly win this fight, and the enemy comes in like a flood, and what do we do? How do we fight off his attack? How do we defeat the darkness around us? The last part of Isaiah 59 and 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Even if the enemy is coming in like a flood in your life, even if the attack seems overwhelming, even when it seems unstoppable, the Lord will lift up a battle standard against him. Hallelujah. That standard, it represents a battle flag that symbolized God's protection against the enemy. When he comes in like a flood, it's not us that has to stop it. We've just got to stand. And the Lord steps in. The Lord steps in and does the work. The Lord steps in and wins the fight. The Lord steps in and protects us. God, I'm going to trust you in this, and I'm going to stand on your word, and I'm going to resist. I'm not giving in. I'm not running. I'm not quitting, but I'm going to stand. Come on, somebody get your stand back. We're going to resist. We're going to win this, but it's going to be through standing. Hallelujah. We get the privilege of being more than conquerors, but God's the one who wins the battle. I'm going to tell you, you can make it through this battle you're in right now. God has, he's got enough faith in you that he's allowed you to go through this. It's not meant for your destruction. It's meant to make you stronger. It's to prepare you for something greater. The enemy means it to destroy, but God, he means it for something good. Aren't you glad to be on the Lord's side? Aren't you glad to be on the Lord's side? Aren't you thankful we're on the winning side? God's got this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody just give him praise. Lord, I praise you for what you're doing. I don't understand everything. I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but I'm trusting you. I'm standing on your word. I give you praise, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you for what you're doing, oh God. Psalms So we win through resistance. How do we resist? How do we resist? First of all, we resist steadfastly. Our text again, 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We resist steadfastly, firm in our faith that God's got this. And as long as we stand in Him, we're going to make it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. There it is again. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No matter what we face, we can know that God's in control. We have an eternal destiny with Jesus Christ. Be steadfast, be unmovable. Anybody remember that old song? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I hope we're still teaching that in Sunday school, because that's where it's at right there. Amen. That's where it's at. Maybe we need to just resurrect that song in our life and sing it to ourselves and sing it to the Lord and sing it to the devil or whoever will listen. When we feel pressure from all sides, when we think we're about to lose it, when the enemy's just about convinced us that he's going to win, we just start singing. We just start declaring. We just start believing. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I'm going to stand. I'm going to resist this attack. I'm going to resist whatever the devil's trying to do. He's not going to win, but God's winning. Come on, I'm on the winning side. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm trying to encourage someone here today. The enemy wants to take you out, but God said, I'm going to turn it for good. I've got a blessing in this. I've got victory in this. I've got a miracle in this. I've got revival in this. Come on, don't you think that God's already seen what the devil's going to do? And he said, okay, watch this. Watch this. I'm about to take the worst attack of the enemy and turn it into a blessing for my child, to turn it into a blessing for my church. He's got this. Hallelujah. Paul told the church in Corinth, he said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain. Sometimes we wonder, is all this effort, is all of this struggle, is all of this, is it any good? Are we making a difference? Is anything being accomplished? Our labor is not in vain. Hallelujah. We might not get somebody to call us up and give us an award. Maybe, maybe not. But Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, knowing it's not in vain. We don't need to waver. We don't need to change direction. We don't need to fall. We don't need to quit. No, resist steadfastly. Second, how do we resist? In prayer. In prayer. Ephesians 6:10 talks to us about the armor of God. Notice how many times it tells us to stand. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take ye unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We've got to have the armor of God. To be able to stand, to withstand, to stand therefore. And many people read this and they don't realize that prayer is a part of this. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer. What does that mean? The idea there is prayer upon prayer upon prayer. We should use every kind of prayer that we can think of. Individual prayer, group prayer, silent prayer, shouting prayer, walking prayer, kneeling prayer, eloquent prayer, simple prayer, groaning prayer, constant prayer, fervent prayer, praying always with all prayer. It's through prayer that the armor of God can go to work. Christians who never pray, they may be wearing the armor, but they can't accomplish anything because they fail to go into battle through prayer. But prayer gives us the spiritual strength we need to stand and let God's armor do its work. Well, I don't feel like praying, Pastor. I've been there. I'll probably be there again. That's the time we should pray the most. Charles Spurgeon wrote about resisting through prayer. He said, resist. Be more prayerful every time he is more active. He will soon give it up if he finds that his attacks drive you to Christ. Often has Satan been nothing but a big black dog to drive Christ's sheep nearer the master. Think about that picture. Oh, a big black dog driving the sheep closer to the master. When we're going through it, don't pray less, pray more. Hallelujah. Teach the enemy if he's going to keep messing with you, you're just going to pray more. If he knows that you'll let up the more he attacks, what do you think he's going to do? But if every time he throws everything he's got at you, you just let him see you head to the altar even more. You let him see you worship all the more. You let him see you just dig in your heels a little bit more. We resist through prayer. Number three, we resist through faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God has placed us in his kingdom for a purpose. He's given us a job to do. We are his stewards, and he requires faithfulness. The enemy wants us to be unfaithful, to let up on what God's called us to do, to get distracted or distressed or distraught or disillusioned. Anything to keep us from doing the will of God. But God requires us to be faithful. Keep on keeping on, somebody. Keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. There's power and consistency. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. God is consistent. His word is always true. His plan of salvation remains constant. His love is faithful and endures forever. Occasional bursts of living right for God, that's not what makes us successful. It's all about being consistent. Don't you want God to be able to count on you? Number four, we resist in submission. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. A lot of people get that last part. I'm just going to resist the devil. But they're not submitted to the Lord. They don't do what he tells them to do. They don't read his word. They don't live by it. They just go and do what they want, and then they want to resist, and they're like, why is it not working? Because there's some things in this word that God's told us to do, and we're like, no, I'll do my own thing. And then when I get in trouble, oh, Jesus, help me. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Why do we have the holiness standards we've got? Is this all about some pastor somewhere making this up because he's just trying to control everybody? I want to tell you the holiness standards that God has given us in his word are protections from the world. There's a reason why we don't go the places of the world. There's a reason why we don't do the things of the world. There's a reason why we don't look the way the world looks. There's a protection that is there. And when we submit to the protections that God has given us, and then we stand on the word of God and say, I'm going to resist the devil, there's a protection, a barrier that is there. How many times have you or I seen somebody start to trim the pages of this book and say, well, I don't like that verse, and I don't like that holiness standard, and I don't like that scripture, and well, that's old fashioned, and you know what, we've evolved and things have changed now, and so they try to change these little things, and they start little by little, and they start pulling at the thread, so to speak, and say, well, I just don't like this little bit, and before long the whole garment's messed up. And then they try to resist the devil, and there's no power there. I want to tell you, I am so thankful for what God is doing in this church. We had a man come Sunday, and Brother Ford, you mentioned it to me that afterwards, or he told him, he said, my, the Holy Ghost is all over these people. We don't realize it sometimes because it's just every day. It's every service. But somebody that's coming in from out in the world, they realize there's something different here. They realize you can feel something. It's not the same of what they felt in other places. Well, there's a protection. Hallelujah. Thank God for the protections of His Word. Thank God for the standards of holiness He's given us so we can resist the devil. Number five, how do we resist? In fellowship. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, but also their word of testimony. They were talking about what God was doing. Oh, what a joy to hear when somebody has a miracle in their family. Oh, what a blessing when I hear that God has healed somebody. I just can't wait to hear stories about how God has poured out the Holy Ghost, and He's working through Bible studies, and He's touching people in their neighborhood. Oh, I can't wait to hear those kind of testimonies. It helps me overcome my stuff. We need one another. Iron sharpens iron. I need you. You need me. That's why we've got to come together. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we meet from house to house. That's why we break bread together. That's why we have Labor Day picnics and all these different things. It's because we're trying to strengthen one another, because we're trying to resist an enemy, and we need to bind together. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Peter closes this with prayer. He's asking God, Lord, make us perfect. Establish us. Strengthen us. Settle us. Peter knew that it was impossible to face the enemy in our own strength. He'd learned the hard way a few times. And his own failure taught him how important it was to rely on the power of God. So that's revealed here in his prayer. There's another thing he said. He said, after you've suffered a while. Now, Peter, why did you have to go and say that? We wish we were called to the no-suffering plan of God. Sign me up for that one. But really? Would I want to be weak? Would I want to never be battle-proven? Would I want to never have to use this word to stand? God uses suffering to perfect, to establish, to strengthen, and to settle us.
Oh, Lord, I don't feel like I'm settled right now.
Anybody ever tell you, settle down? Did it settle you? No. Maybe we're not resisting on the right foundation. Sometimes you've got to get back to the basics and say, God, I don't know how to do this. I'm overwhelmed. I'm troubled in my spirit. God, I've got to have some strength. Now, here's the deal. The Lord intends for us to be victorious over the enemy. But this does not mean that the devil will ever leave us completely alone. Even though Jesus always walked in victory over the devil and his temptations, Satan continued to bring trials, hindrances. Luke chapter 4, verse 13 says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." If you're in a season without temptation, thank God for it, but get ready. Get ready. He only left Jesus alone for temporary seasons, but then he would come again. Well, the Lord's delivered me from that. And I believe in deliverance. If you are struggling with addiction, if you are struggling with cuss words, if you're struggling with thoughts that torment you, if you're struggling with things that you just can't seem to get free from, sometimes you need somebody to bind together with you and pray a prayer of deliverance. I'm for that. This church believes in that. We've seen people that have struggled with things, and there was a stronghold there. Something had to be dealt with. Sometimes you got to deal with some stuff. But here's the thing. If God delivers someone from a spirit of fear, it doesn't mean that fear's not going to try to come back. Hallelujah. Until we die and go to heaven, or until the Lord returns, we're called to steadfast resistance. But if God has delivered you from a spirit of fear, and you fear that, you feel that fear try to come on you, you've got to resist it. You've got to resist it. Don't open up the door and let it in, because it'll try to come back, but you've got to resist it. Somebody struggled with a spirit of anger, and God has delivered them from that. Don't think the devil's not going to allow situations to try to make them angry. Oh, yeah, he will. And when that thing happens, they have a choice in that moment. What am I going to do with this? Am I going to resist this? Or am I going to open up and let it in? It's almost like in that moment, they have to make a decision. And God forbid that they say, okay, I'm going to receive this into myself and into my spirit. Resist. Resist. Hallelujah. Steadfast resistance. Continual resistance. Faithful resistance. Resistance in prayer. Resistance in submission. Resistance. Oh, come on. Somebody today, you're not called to just go out and be all glorious and stir up all these battles. No, you're just called to stand. You're called to be faithful. You're called to resist. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to your will in our life, to your authority in our life, to your blessings and your calling, Lord. We submit ourselves to you today. Let your will be done in our life, Lord. Let your purpose be accomplished in us. We submit ourselves to God, and Lord, we resist the devil. And he will flee. and he will flee. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We stand on your promises tonight. We stand on what you've told us to do, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, is anybody going through something and you realize this was to you? I wonder if you just as a step of faith gather around this altar and say, I'm going to stand. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm standing on what I heard tonight in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm receiving the promises of the Lord. Hallelujah. Steadfast resistance. Steadfast resistance. The more the devil fights, the more I'm going to praise God. The more I'm going to pray, the more I'm going to be faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on, somebody. You've been going through it. Keep resisting. Come on, keep resisting.